As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, everybody. One of those mornings you just can't get your head around technology. Gremlins left and right, whatever. So I apologize for the lack of cool graphics. I'm having all kinds of computer issues, but I think I got it worked out for the most part, but it's one of those days. So you can see me, you can hear me. That's all that matters. I can hear you. I wasn't able to hear anyone for the last like hour, so I can hear Joel. I can hear Dennis. Okay, we're going to get the show on the road. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer, Joel, Dennis, By the Dip is the theme of today's show. We'll talk about AT&T Verizon. We'll talk about CureVac. We'll talk Fastenal. They had earnings this morning. We'll take questions from our chat. Michael Pachter should be joining us. I hope he's joining us this morning. It would be great. He's on the schedule. I emailed him to confirm it. Didn't hear back, but he should be joining us at 8:35. Regardless, what you should be joining is the Pre-Market Prep Saturday Extravaganza. This Saturday, can you believe it? October 16th, 9 to 12:30, premarketprep.com. I'll say it again, premarketprep.com to sign up and attend. And then once you sign up, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you get the recording, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you don't even have
to get it live, and then you do get the recording afterwards too. So if you can't be there at that time, no big deal. You will get the recording of the event afterwards as well. We're doing this is, and again, and a lot of people have been asking, because it's labeled number two, do we have to do number one? Is there a prerequisite? There is not. So the stuff we're talking about is different topics, and we're diving deep into relationship-based trading. We're talking about how I trade market neutral. We're talking about all the strategies, you know, that I do on a regular basis. A lot of stuff, you know, when we're talking on this show, we give you ideas, we give you different strategies. We're going to dive deep into some of these relationship-based strategies that I talk about a lot on the show.
Not so much about, hey, here's a trade for Monday, but about, hey,
it's
here's
all
how...
education.
Right.
It's all education. So this is about teaching you how to fish, not giving you a fish. This is about teaching you how to fish.
And if you attend, you'll be fed for a lifetime.
Oh, we don't guarantee anything, but we will feed you some fish. We'll feed you some strategies anyways. Hopefully some of those strategies can make your own. You know, maybe you can just take them and employ them, but maybe you can turn around and make them your own.
All right.
And I also believe there's an option on there that if you want to get to the first event, my web guy put on there, you could pay, instead of paying the full price, you could add a $20 and you can get the first event too.
And you get both then.
Then you get both and you're living. Yeah. But Dennis, like today also, like when, I mean, we talk about this stuff all the time, but like today when we're going through the show, you know, make sure that, you know, stuff that's related to what you're going to be talking about, the same for me. I will talk about it just to point it out, to give you a little example. Let me run through the numbers here, and then I want to talk to you about yesterday. What a I don't know what word to describe it, but let's just talk what the now. The now is up. We're 4.5 at 55.5 in the S&P's, way off the low by the dippers. We're out there overnight. Low 17.25, that high 59.5 doesn't mean anything to me because the way we just ripped down through that area yesterday. Crude up 32 cents, 80.84. Gold waking up 590 at 1761.60. Silver down 7 cents, 22.59. Bitcoin taking a little breather, down 440 at 57,550. And Ethereum futures, they're in the red too. Ethereum gold kind of has a mind of its own up here. Down 79.75 at 34.62. So Triple D, we had a lower open.
Yeah.
We came back. We were nicely green, right?
Yeah.
And then we came down. Then we took out the pre-market low, and we went substantially red. I was looking back through the days. I don't know when the last time that we took out both the pre, you know, we had a pretty big range overnight. We took out the pre-market low.
Can we see that? Show it to us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we took out the pre-market high and the pre-market low. Probably best illustrated here on the 60-minute chart. This is actually where the session started. Here, I will put an arrow in there to make it a little bit easier. This is where we were at 6 p.m. You know, that would be Sunday night for Sunday night traders. We came down, we made a low, and we hipped and hopped and beeped and bopped, and then caught a bit off the open, matched Friday's high to the tick, right? So things were looking pretty good. Forget about the bad jobs number. We matched the high right there, 0775. And then we come down, we take out the pre-market. You know, you're not supposed to take out the pre-market low after you take out the pre-market high. Well, we come, and then, you know, obviously we settled at, we ended up settling right here at 51. They tagged it a little bit after hours and not right back up. So it's consolidating market, but wow, what a large consolidation range. Just getting ready for Q3 earnings, you think? Or what's on the market's mind?
I don't know. I'm looking at the chat here, so I'm doing two things at once here. I just want to go back to the event for a second. Some people are saying they were at the first event and the recording expired, and the Zoom recording expired. If you were at the first event, reach out to me. I'm on Twitter at Triple D Trader. We have a YouTube recording of the event.
I sent it to like 100 people.
No, I know, but there was 104. There was 40 people that probably didn't get it. So there was two people already in the chat that said they did not get the YouTube recording. So
email it
maybe
to
they
me.
Didn't know to reach out.
Email right. to me. Yeah.
We've yeah, you said... can email Joel. Joel, can you will you give your email? I don't know if you give your email.
Joel at Benzinga. How about that?
Joel at Benzinga.
Joel at Benzinga.
If you signed up, and we do check it. So if you signed up, use the email that you signed up with. We'll check it. If we did, we will send you the recording. So you do get the recording because the Zoom one expired, but there's a YouTube one that we also did of it. And everybody, like you said, you sent out to about 100 of the people, and we had, I believe, 140. So 40 people that maybe don't have it yet. If you signed up, reach out to Joel. So that's our housekeeping. Back to the markets. It's chop and slop and buy the dip and sell the rip on a crazy amount of of trading here, because this is just the way this market is working here right now. It is a contrarian market until further notice. We've been talking about it for, I feel like, 3 months straight. It continues to work. You get the market with no memory that Doug Cass calls it, which is exactly what we have right now. So I think you just keep looking at this and you're getting, just like we said, I'm not chasing 3 days ago because you'll get another chance. Well, lo and behold, here we are overnight. They give you another chance again. So keep fading the moves is what I'm doing. I'm fading every single move, meaning I'm selling rips, buying dips, not chasing. That's the type of market that we're in. Not 2020. You're not in Kansas anymore.
In everything, or is there different groups?
Well, not in my long-term portfolio, but in my trading portfolio.
I meant in all kinds of stocks.
It's working in everything. Okay. It really is. I mean, even, you know, the banks were all lifting yesterday. They all give it back. I mean, oil has been running. Yes, you know, if you've been trend following, it has been working in oil stocks. They have been moving up. It was a wicked reversal day yesterday, though, for it. So, you know, do you see where you have a day where ExxonMobil is opening up and then closes weak? I mean, it's a crowded trade now, too. And again, you've got to look at this and say, hey, do I want to be buying ExxonMobil now? 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13 trading days ago, we were $54. Now we're $62. If you do the quick math, that's 15% in 13 trading days. It's too much, too fast. So are you going to pull in? Do you get another chance? This market is the kind of market that seems to give you another chance. If I got ExxonMobil back in the 58 area for a trade, I'd probably strike. But that's what you got to be doing. You've got to be trading it differently than you did last year. Because I get traders reaching out to me all the time. They're really struggling in this environment. And it's because they're probably doing a lot of breakouts. Breakouts are failing all over the place. You know, maybe they're doing, you know, trend following. They're doing different stuff. And in some stocks, it's working. But in a lot of stocks, it's not as choppy. So right now, like I've said, you get up in a stock. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing really good. I get up 5, 6%. And then the stock gives it all back. You take the money when you got in this market because this is the market that it's not going up 30, 40, 50%. It's not like 2020. The stocks aren't doing that. And like we were saying with the high-tech growth stocks, they've been getting hammered for the simple reason that we talked about yesterday is that future earnings of these high-growth tech names are worth less in an inflationary environment. So, you know, you got to look at what's in favor, what's not in favor. Definitely commodity trades are still in favor, but I'm not chasing. I'm looking to get into them on pullbacks.
And what do you think this says, though, just about the overall market? I mean, it's a digestion period. And the way we went down, I mean, that was crazy. Like, let's look at the upper right chart here. No such thing as a triple bottom. Well, we had a quad bottom, right? Then we had 4 inside days. I mean, you're never going to see that. The fourth, the day that it broke out, obviously, we had the big breakout. And now you're coming back into the area where you had the 4 inside ranges. I just think it's just decision time. And it, you know, it's, you know, maybe we're just, maybe this is just, you know, the doldrums. Maybe we're just going to find a new trading range, maybe, you know, 4,200 to 4,400. And that, you know, that could be a range for 6, 8 months, a year. Who knows?
I think we've already found it.
Yeah.
Bring up the IWM. Bring up the IWM.
Oh, IBM has been in that since February.
This trading range has been phenomenal. And if you know, if you're using a contrarian strategy, and what a contrarian strategy is, it's a strategy that's fading moves. It's a strategy that's going the other way. The stock's up 3-4%, they're selling. When the stock's down 3-4%, they're buying. If you're using those types of strategy on the IWM, you have been kicking ass and taking names. Because look at this range. Look at this IWM range for the last, you know, you said since February, we're talking like 8 months here now. 7-8 months. It's just in a range. I believe it is consolidation to eventually go higher. I believe that you're going to start to see stocks eventually make new highs, like Spencer Israel was predicting. I'm still on his side. But it's not this type of environment that, okay, well, here we go. We're up 10%. We're going to go up another 10. It's like it goes up 10%. The money manager is like, okay, bank the coin. So in there, and that's what you're seeing happen. And IWM is a fantastic example of how just range-bound this market has really been.
I don't want to ignore, I feel like Joel said the magic words off the top of the show, and he said, I think he said gold is getting off the mat or gold is waking up. I think we skipped right over that today.
Did he say that?
He did. He did say that. He went over the gold chart for 3 seconds, and he said gold showing some life, or gold getting off
maybe
the matter.
For the day.
Something. Yeah, something. I feel like we talked about that like 20 minutes yesterday, and we just skipped right over it today. And I wanted to go back to that for just a second.
Because... I mean, it's finding some. I mean, it's off the mat. It's like, it's apparently it's got 1 foot
okay.
off the mat.
I just don't want to lose sight. I don't want to lose sight.
I don't know. It's just so, but I mean, there's good
I
support.
Could get talked into it. I could get talked
into
it.
Me too. Me too.
Like, I mean, you just think, and we asked this chat, we were asking the chat, and I think everybody is still, you know, lukewarm to gold here just because it has been performing in an environment it should be performing. But you look at the silver. Okay. If you want to, and again, all trading is as setups, right? It doesn't matter. Even your own opinion doesn't really matter. It's about just recognizing a setup and taking a swing at the pitch. You know, sometimes you foul them off. Sometimes you strike out. Sometimes you hit a home run. I'm usually trying to hit a base hit. Because if you're going for base hits, you're probably going to, you know, get on base a hell of a lot more often than if you're going for the fences like Rob Deere style back in the 1990s. So 2065, the low on the SLV. You got 1, 2, 3, 4 lows in the same area. You got yesterday's low, 2088. You're hanging out here. You know what? You want to take a shot. You think silver is okay consolidating here to go higher? You go for it and you stop yourself out under that 2065, and you're literally risking yourself like 1.5%. You're not even risking very much. Could you get a Gil Morales undercut and rally and stop you out? Well, it does happen in this environment. Stops tend to get triggered in an environment where you've got a lot of chop and slop. So in all likelihood, you probably get stopped out on it. But again, it means, you know, you can't just completely change all your strategies. You still have to have risk, and you still have to find, you know, outs, even though we're in an environment where it seems like you keep getting nailed that way. But I don't mind it. I don't mind the setup here on silver as a trade. And, you know, and from a longer term perspective, it should do well in an inflationary environment. It just hasn't. And that's why I don't own any silver and I don't own any gold, because it hasn't been performing when it's supposed to be performing. So I'm like, well, if it's not going to perform and we got inflation, you know, jumping up, and obviously the Fed talking about tapering, eventually raising interest rates, I don't know when it's going to start performing. So that's why I'm hesitant here. I don't know, but what are your thoughts on gold and silver? I mean, there's a possible.
I mean, I got a little bit. This harkens back to when we were talking about Rocket, right?
Sure.
And we were like, wow, man, what a great environment. You know,
and
low
wasn't
interest
performing.
Rate. Yeah. And, you know, we thought, you know, it was going to go, and it had that one Reddit day, and now it's just, you know, it's just hanging out. So, man, just a lot of times, you know, when they don't go, when they should go, they don't go, you know? And then there's the odd time, but trading range for a long time, well-defined risk. The thing with gold too is you kind of got to be in it to win it. It's kind of like the spoofs. Like you're going to, you know, wake up one more and it could go either way. It could be down $60 or it could be up $60. And then you'd be like, you just got to be it. That's why I have a not even a couple percentage points in gold. And I've had it for a long time. So I have a very good cost.
You have some gold?
Yeah, the GLD. I can't even.
How much of your portfolio is
not
gold
even
percentage?
Not in? Yeah, I would say less than like 2%, 1-2%. Yeah,
All I wanted to do is I just don't want to lose sight of this, because if there is a catch up trade, I don't want us to miss it. So I just let's just.
There is the possibility for a gold and silver catch up trade. The possibility is there. And I'm hesitant. I haven't. Part of me could get talked into it if the chat was like, you know, like talking me into it. I could get talked into a gold and silver trying it here, you know, even as a swing trade here. And James maybe puts it best. He says it's hard to buy, but it makes some sense to buy it. And it does, you know, from a, like you get out, like we said yesterday, you can have a textbook and say, what do we buy in an inflationary environment? You're probably going to see gold and silver right near the top. So why, you know, it has performed? Maybe it's crypto. Maybe that's what's, you know, the money is moving into. And I mean, we've seen Bitcoin have a tremendous rally over the course of the last, you know, month or so, when inflation, you know, has obviously talks have kicked up a notch about tapering as well. So I don't know if crypto is a new gold or not, but there is a setup here in gold and silver if you want to try.
Mitch,
I'll
what's
say
up?
That.
Mitch,
what's I don't, up? I don't know too much about gold, but I think you got a better shot doing gold rush in Alaska than making money in gold stock.
Mitch is giving the call. He says, forget about gold. Right. Move on is what he right. says. Move the show on. Nobody wants
okay,
to
Okay, we'll move the show on.
What's going on with Facebook?
That's Facebook. A good question, because Facebook. It's getting hit to the tune of $3.50 here. What is the news on FB this morning?
Whoa, you're throwing me for a loop here.
I did see it dipping earlier. I got to go check my news.
No, I don't see anything on Facebook right now. Let me look around. I didn't even notice.
Okay, do the technicals.
I want you to do the technicals. Just making a new low for the move.
Nah, you never want to buy stocks making new lows on the move either. This Facebook has got, obviously, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know. All of a sudden, the technicals don't look that great. But the tech trade's a little bit heavy too. Like, I'm somewhat concerned about the tech trade. I've talked about that yesterday.
Let's see here. The former low of the move. I mean, I guess you're not completely blown it away, but I believe it was in the 322 handle. And where did you get to the other day? I just took off it was 322.70. So you're trading at 21.88. So it's like, it's not a total aberration, but it just seems like something came out on it. There's not much on the dailies here. I was looking at this. I think there was maybe a couple lows at 316, 317. But on this point, you know, you look on the monthlies there, and if you want to, you know, and I put this a while ago, you know, does it have a date with 300? And that, you know, I don't know. A lot of people didn't think it would see 300 when it almost made 400 in September. But someone's selling. Someone wants out. We'll see what that pre-market low is and see if
they're having service problems in a few.
Yeah, I was going to chime in here.
That's what it is.
It looks like if you go to downdetector.com, there are some users reporting outages. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. With Facebook. So.
Are they hitting Fastly too?
Probably. No, they haven't, but that's a good call, Joel. If you search the major outages, Fastly always takes it on the chin.
Fastly,
they have a little piece of that.
Fastly and Akamai. Fastly also had earnings this morning, so it's not.
Fastly did?
Oh, no, Fastenal. I'm sorry.
Oh, Fastenal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Fastly. I was like,
I'm sorry.
Two very similar names, yes. Two very different companies.
I apologize. Yeah, so it looks like some outages being reported at Facebook, and that's what's happening. That's the news this morning. There's nothing else out on Facebook. So, but just technically, you guys are said it all right there. Do you want to talk about my Regeneron adventures yesterday? Yeah.
So okay. Give us the details. Give us the update. Do you have a picture of you getting the Regeneron? Because I like that picture that you tweeted out.
Oh yeah, I do. Here, let me pull it up for you real fast. Yeah, I got the Regeneron monoclonal antibody cocktail. Is it a cocktail? I don't know. Who decides whether it's
a cocktail
or not? I'm not sure who decides that.
Not my kind of cocktail.
Not mine. Not mine either.
Well, then tastes that good?
Gonna make me cough now. Man. Thank you, Mitch.
Sounds like it's working.
Dude, the more you make me laugh, the more I cough.
All right.
It's not fun.
I'm selling my Regeneron right now. Joke. That was a joke.
So, all right. Here's it was very simple. I went there. You're in like one of those rooms where they give like, you know, dialysis or chemo, whatever, same kind of style. And you just sit there and you get it injected into your veins, and it took about, I don't know, an hour, maybe like an hour, 15 minutes, maybe a little more. And that was it.
You don't feel like $1 million.
No, I don't feel any different. And they said that people report that they do feel better. I feel, Radio Wayne, look at that. I don't feel any better, but I kind of have felt the same. I kind of felt better over the weekend, and I haven't really gotten better or worse. They said it'll make it not so it doesn't get worse, but I feel the same. I basically just have like a little bit of a cough that you just heard.
Yeah.
And like a little bit shortness of breath only when I take really deep breaths though. And that's basically, and I feel like that's going to be it for me for like this I think is just how it's going to be for me for a while, for like a few weeks probably. But other than that, I'm fine. I'm not even really congested or anything. So I feel the same. You know, Ariel got it. She feels the same too. With her, it's so interesting how it affects people in different ways, right?
Right.
I mean, like, I have it all in my chest. She has it all in her head, right? It's just so strange how it affects
people. Where did you get it?
I went to St. John's Ascension. Yeah, all the way. So interestingly enough, there was like six chairs in the room, right? But there was only two of us there. Four of them were empty, but they said they're all like booked up, and people are like coming in from like out of state to get these things, and they're traveling from like Toledo or places like that. And there's just, even though there was four empty chairs there, they were like booked up. People just didn't show up. I guess maybe they found one closer to home or whatever. Oh, but
that
sucks. But they said like they're like it's just there's a ton of demand right now. There's like a huge wait. To get it, and like you get it when you get it, you don't really have a choice. It's like you either get it on this day, or because you guys get it within 10 days. If you don't get it within 10 days, there's no point getting it. So, but
what is it supposed to do? Like, did they tell you like how it works?
So they told him, the way it was explained to me, it's basically not that dissimilar to a booster shot. It's kind of the same thing. It's again, this is just how it was explained to me. Just more antibodies. That's basically what it is. So I now can't get the booster. Not that I am not that it's approved yet, but when it does get approved, I won't be able to get it for 3 months from now. So because what I just got is basically equivalent to a to a booster shot. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, no.
They
so we're just
full of antibodies just to get this infection, so you have a better chance of an easier time fighting off the infection.
Right, exactly. We're talking about, you know, the hospital and how they are, and she was saying from her, you know, the nurse there from her vantage point, it does appear that the Delta variant, which I assume is what I have, who the hell knows, it's just way more contagious than the other one, but it's not as deadly is what, like, from her vantage point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because clearly if you get the vaccine, you can still spread it. So like everyone is going to spread it. Everyone's going to get it, but it's just like not as deadly a strain. If it's being passed from vaccinated person to vaccinated person. She said everyone in their ICU is non-vax. You've been hearing that. You've been hearing that across the board from hospitals around the country. But she said their hospital's not at capacity. They're not full. It's not like it was a few months ago. But she did say you can pretty much like just predict it, like when certain events happen, like for example, back to school, or for example, she said like prom was like a big thing, right? Like prom or spring break. She said like 3 weeks later. Right, you could 2 weeks later, you get all the cases.
I wonder how all the people remember that when the lake at the Ozarks. When was that? Was that for July?
That was last summer.
That in 20 or was that?
Yeah, that was last summer.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Just one thing. I mean, you know what Lisa's seen repeatedly is, you know, you get sick initially, and then you know you kind of feel better. And then it's that second wave, like after 3 or 4 days, that it just, you know, if you're going to get it bad, that's, you know, that's when you're going to get it. So and it deceives people because you feel better. And then it comes up and kicks you aside the head. So,
yeah. So there are some people asking in the chat if you have certain risk factors. For example, so I have asthma. If you have like asthma, if you have like high blood pressure, diabetes, it's a menu, right? Just pick anything on the menu. And if you have any of those risk factors, you are eligible for this treatment. But you can only get it within 10 days if you're not going to of showing symptoms. And if you're not going to get it then you can't get it. So there's no point. So that's basically that. I kind of feel like how I am now is how I'm going to be for a while. Interestingly enough, Joel, there's one other guy with me yesterday, and we got to talking, and small world, his niece is like pretty high up at the Richmond Federal Reserve, so I got the inside scoop at what's going on with all the, and he confirmed to me,
you know what Powell's doing?
He confirmed that the printers are still on.
The printers ever going off?
Do you know what
printers are still on?
They're hot. Those
do you know what kind of printers that you should ask, or what kind of printers they use?
Because HP.
HP. Oh, HP. Well, then we got to buy that. We got to buy that stock then for sure.
Yeah.
Never even realized. Look at that. HPQ with the printing. But the printing press is supposed to slow, so that would be bad for HP if it does eventually slow.
Yeah,
I don't think it's ever.
From what he was telling me, like his niece has like is on track to like one day be like the president of the Richmond Fed, is what he was saying. So good for her, but small world. Anyway, okay.
Did you tell her we use Pump and Powell?
No, I didn't want to be like I didn't. I was gonna say like so about those like, you know, insider buys, but I didn't.
What have you been buying lately?
Yeah, what are you buying? What do you like? What stocks do you like?
I didn't say anything. I thought about it. And I was right. Like, we're stuck here. I've got a needle in my arm. He's got a needle in his arm. He can't actually move. I don't want to. The awkwardness would be too much. So I just left it. I left it at that. Anyway, it's 8:30 here. Do we want to talk AT&T Verizon from yesterday?
Yes.
T-Mobile.
Yes.
T-Mobile, too. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
Dennis.
Throw them all in the same boat. Okay, so here you've got – we've talked about this for years. These are businesses that are cash cows that are not growing. AT&T and Verizon especially. Throw T-Mobile in the mix as well because it's fallen right along with them. But especially in the case of AT&T and Verizon, I mean, you can see this little nice AT&T 7.97% dividend, but we know that is going to get cut. They've already said that's getting cut. I'm not sure the date that's getting cut, but that dividend is going down. Correct, Spencer? Like, I mean, they said it, they announced it. It's still showing me a 7.97%
yield. That was months ago, I thought. Yeah.
I believe, like, that maybe the next quarter dividend is going to be less. I'm not sure. But eventually it is going down. I don't know if they've announced when it's actually going to go down. But these are dividend plays. These are plays that people are going into because they're getting paid 5%, 4%, 5%, 6%. Some people see 8%, but they're not going to be getting that on AT&T soon. It's going to go down. So say you're getting 4.5%, 5% on these. Do you really want to own stocks that aren't growing and they're just going to pay you 4.5%, 5% in an inflationary environment? No. The same reason that I don't want to own bonds right now. The same reason that I said TLT is in trouble at a 151. It's 141 now, 3 weeks later. But I think TLT is still in a world of pain here because I can't see who wants to come out and put their money in for, you know, 1.5% or 2% yield, tying it up for that long. So what you're seeing is an inflationary trade here hit AT&T and Verizon as well. Money managers reallocating capital, saying if we're going to have, you know, inflation sticks around for a bit, in these two stocks, I'm actually losing to inflation. So I've had multiple people ask, you know, is AT&T a buy? Is stocks getting so cheap? I would say you have a huge level at 26. The level of all levels is 26. Will it bounce? And the reason I'm saying that is I would guarantee if I go and look at my book, which I can do right now, it's probably some huge size there. But you had a low back in March. We're challenging the COVID low, March of 2608. We're challenging that right now as we speak. We're 2607. The reason I feel that the path of least resistance is lower for AT&T is the fundamental macro environment that we're in. Inflationary environment, you don't want to own dividend stuff either. You don't want to own high growth tech. You don't want dividend stuff that's dependent on that because those dividends are less attractive if interest rates do start going up. And I think that's what the market's telling you. They are anticipating that eventually you might see higher rates. So I would be a seller of all rallies in AT&T and Verizon. And those are horrible charts for the last 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, the monthlies are all you really need to see, right? I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down months in a row. I don't know when the last time it's had that, that kind of, I mean, it's had some up and down, but now without, you know, that stealth dividend, I mean, the dividend players are they're not in there supporting it the 2 or 3 weeks before. They did that complicated deal. And I still
think it went dividend too last week, Joel.
Yeah.
I think they did. I remember if I've sheets from last week.
And then Cramer was just ruthless on this stock.
They did. They went ex dividend last week. Isn't that amazing trade? And you know, something that we have talked about obviously on the show is, you know, that after these things go ex dividend, there's weakness. They went ex dividend, I believe, last Wednesday. So you're looking like Thursday starts to take it out, Friday, Saturday. Like, that's unbelievable. You know that how consistent that trade is, that they're very weak after going ex-dividend because nobody getting paid for another 90 days. So if you were planning on shorting the stock, you're probably not going to do it the day before it goes ex-dividend because you don't want to pony out that money. But you wait till the day after. Again, sometimes the stock falls by that amount, but a lot of times it doesn't. You know, then you don't have to worry about the dividend for another 90 days. So amazing that, you know, we see this huge fall a couple days after it goes ex-dividend. Not a coincidence.
Interesting. Interesting.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts here? Do you own any of these, Joel?
Yeah, I bought some tea right before they cut the dividend.
Oh, well, you didn't sell it then? You had a chance. It never went down that much after they announced
I know.
You sticking with it? Yeah. Joel, once he buys, he never... I don't know if Joel has a sell button.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish
I did. Do you have
a
sell
one.
Button on your computer? You never hear much about Joel selling, except Bitcoin at the top. Bitcoin at the top and GME at the top.
Peloton. Well,
no, that's not true. He does have a cell. He's just not allowed to use it.
Use it. He has to put the business plan together to be able to.
Yeah, he's got to put. He's got to tell.
Hasn't been much about talk about Peloton around the house lately, though. It's been kind of crazy.
Joel's the only one actively cheering against his book on that one.
I mean, what about that upgrade? There's still a lot of money in it from like 35 or 40. That was the little extra we bought. I don't believe it. I don't even know if the print's
on
there.
$171. When your stock goes from $20 to $171 in a year, sometimes it's good at least to take your cost basis out.
Yeah. Yep.
At least lighten up a little bit. But I mean, you know, some stocks continue to go up and you get these winners that are thousands and thousands of percent. I believe Chris Camilo is still with you. I believe he hasn't sold any of his Peloton either. I was seeing him tweet. We should get Chris back on the show, but I've seen him tweet the other day. So you got somebody with you sticking with it, Joel. He says it's going to be a zero. It's going to be like $1,000, and he's sticking with it. So.
Let's find out if our guest has the Peloton. Michael Pachter, senior analyst at Wedbush. Let's bring him on now. I'm curious if Michael has himself a Peloton.
I would say no.
You would say, I feel like he does. I don't know.
He might.
Michael Pachter, good morning, sir. Do you have a Peloton?
Good morning. I don't know where my screen went. I know I'm here, but I don't know. Is it in? I can't find you guys.
All right. Well, we see you.
Oh, there you are. I found you.
Do you have a Peloton, sir?
I do. It's gathering dust, but I do.
They all gather dust now.
Talk about December 2019. So my wife bought it because I had pre-COVID chubbiness, and that's ballooned into post-COVID lots of fat.
Got it.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So you're like the rest of them, or your Peloton was once the thing, and now it's just kind of chilling.
Yeah, I've got a problem. I have a problem with the seat. It's probably just, but I'm not very comfortable on it. It gets sore. I can't figure it out. Yeah. One of these days, I'll figure it out.
Or not. Okay, Michael, let's talk to you about some areas of your coverage. Some of the stocks in your universe have been pretty wild of late. I guess we should start. I want to start with some of these publishers here because they were so beaten down, and then a couple of these have caught a bid recently. These video game stocks, at least last I checked. So, what's going on here?
We saw this in 2018. Same exact thing. They over-indexed a bunch of generalists piled into them because anybody measured against one of the big tech indexes or against the S&P 500 had to own the stuff that was moving the needle. And back in 18, exactly the same thing happened. People got all psyched about streaming and about esports, and streaming's a real thing. Esports is not. That trade unwound all at once, and they all got crushed in mid 2018. So we had the same thing happen in 2020. Everybody started to look for the stay at home or COVID trade. Anybody who benefited, so as you said, Peloton and games for sure benefited. I think that perversely, the console publishers probably moved even more than they should have. The beneficiaries of the COVID trade turned out to be mobile gaming companies. So Zynga is the one that jumped out as the one that moved up the most and down the most. Zynga is back to pre-COVID levels, which is crazy because they minted money during COVID. But, you know, shelter in place, you obviously weren't getting in the car. You weren't grooming, you know, combing your hair, getting a nice clean shirt on before the workday. So we all had a couple hours a day extra to entertain ourselves. And, you know, that added literally about 20% to our entertainment time available. And so if you were a gamer before, you were gaming 20% more. And so they all ripped because people really did engage 20% more. The reason I said mobile benefits more than console, console games largely are paid for experiences. You pay $60, play as much as you want. Sort of like Netflix. I mean, you join Netflix, you don't pay more if you consume more. Mobile games, you do pay more if you consume more. They're pay-as-you-go in-app purchase. So if you were playing 10 hours a week and spending $10 a week and you start playing 12 hours, you're spending $12. So, you know, the guys like Zynga really benefited, Activision a lot, EA, Take-Two less. And I think as those trades unwound and the stocks all sold off, people started looking at, you know, which guys really weren't that benefited and really aren't as bad as we think. And Take-Two's the one that's rallied the most in the last few weeks. It hasn't come all the way back, but it's come about halfway back. Activision's still in the dumps. They had a sexual harassment scandal and fired a bunch of people and lingering problems. EA delayed a big game and then early testing of the game, it looks pretty bad. Those have kind of stayed down. Zynga's the one I don't get. Zynga is a real company, real revenue, real profit, excellent management team. They missed on a guide for the first time since the current CEO got there 5 years ago. And the street's written the guy off as if he's completely unreliable, which I think is dumb. So that's my favorite of that group.
What's your target on Zynga?
Oh, gosh, I want to say 15. If I'm off, I'm off by 50 cents, but the stock's in the sevens. So, and for real, I think that's a real target. I think that company doubles in a year. So my favorite by a lot.
What about some of these other ones, Michael, that have just gotten absolutely hammered? Like Skillz, for example, right?
Skillz. The problem with Skillz is that the business model is still evolving. And so the Skillz guys created an esports platform so you can wager against other people and bet on yourself. So you can say, I'm going to enter a tournament, you know, just like we play golf and play skins. So you enter a game tournament, they provide a level playing field, privacy, security, ensure that your account is your account and you get your money and you don't cheat. And the model is actually pretty smart. But Skillz figured, since we bring the audience to the platform, we're going to keep 75% of the revenue. And instead of like Apple, 30%. And at 75%, they're not attracting any games that have big audiences. So they don't have any household, you know, name games like Candy Crush on there. And that means they have a small audience. So the shorts believed they're never going to grow. And if they persist with this model where they bring the audience and they hope that some big game shows up, the shorts are probably right. My belief is that a big game, Words with Friends, that doesn't monetize at all is going to show up on the platform. And if Words with Friends showed up on the Skillz platform, Skillz revenue would go up something like 4 to 6x if they shifted to giving Words with Friends 70% of the revenue and they kept 30. And if they were to shift the rake from 20% to 10. So Candy Crush, their revenues would literally go up 100x. I mean, it's crazy how much a big game could move the needle. And I think it's only a matter of time before that happens. But again, investors are skeptical until they see it. I also think the company messed up by doing a SPAC out of the gate. Investors have determined that SPACs are bad, so they just hate them. And they're kind of bidding down anything that was a SPAC. So again, I actually like this business a lot. I joke with investors, 80% of drivers think they're above average. 99.9% of gamers think they're above average. And I'm not kidding. Anybody who calls themselves a gamer has a game that they think they're better than average at, or they wouldn't keep coming back. So I really believe this. It's 99%. And if you get a chance, just like golf, to play against your friends for $1 a hole, you're going to play $1 a match in Words with Friends. And you really are. So I think that this has unlimited potential, but they need to attract one of those types of games. They recently signed up Trivia Crack, which is kind of a big game, you know, a year or so ago. Maybe that'll bring an audience, but I think that the inflection point is going to be when a game like Candy Crush or Words with Friends shows up on the platform.
We're on the line with Michael Pachter from Wedbush Securities. You briefly mentioned the Apple ruling in the App Store. Do you see any, you know, real benefits and any particular issues from this? It seemed like Apple's been getting hit with, for whatever reasons, tech stocks or whatever. Is there anybody that they're going to see, you know, something in the next quarter or two that's going to flow right down to the bottom line?
Quarter or two, no. I'm a minority of one, and but I'm like Neo in the Matrix here. I see exactly what's going to happen with Apple and Epic, and I'm kind of shocked that nobody else has figured this out. Apple lost, and they're going to lose. The reason it's not going to be the next quarter or two, the judge enjoined them permanently from blocking any developers' attempts to divert traffic to a different store away from the App Store. What that means is if you are Candy Crush, let's say, and you make the Candy Crush store, instead of giving 30% of your sales to Apple, if you can divert that traffic to the Candy Crush store, you keep 100%. So it's worth literally, you know, an incremental 40% profitability to Activision, 50 or 60% profit. So they're going to do it. And the judge gave them till December 10th. Apple just this week appealed and asked if they could have it, you know, the injunction stayed until all appeals are exhausted. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the appeals court's going to say, you want six more months to make sure you do it right, okay, but we're not going to give you unlimited time. But we have to see what the appeals court says first. Realistically, the take rate's going to drop from 30 to something lower. And the reason I say something lower and not a fixed number, Apple has to create a trade-off for any publisher or developer between spending the effort and the money to build out their own store and just going with Apple, just like AWS does. They price low enough so that Netflix doesn't stream its own movies through its own cloud. They'll use the Amazon cloud. So I think that Apple will drop the rate probably to 20% for anybody who signs up for 10 years and commits not to competing with them. And if that drops 10%, then Zynga goes from 70% gross margin to 80% overnight. So that 1,000 basis points drops the bottom line, and Zynga profits go from 25% EBITDA margin to 35% overnight. So if you see a 40% increase, if it was 35 over 25, a 40% increase in profitability, you should at least see a 40% increase in share price, which is why I've got Zynga at a price target of $15 in 12 months. I think you see this in the next year. I don't think you see this in the next quarter.
What about Netflix here, Michael? How bullish bearish are you on them getting into gaming?
I was reading about Elon Musk poking Jeff Bezos in the eye because he's worth more than Bezos. And when I read it, I was shocked and I scratched my head and I'm like, one guy's built the biggest retailer in the world that's going to last for 1,000 years, and the other guy's built an electric car that's being emulated by GM and Ford and Mercedes and Porsche. Same thing with Netflix. They're being rewarded for being first, and they deserve massive props for being first. Competition is going to erode their competitive advantage by a lot. They are never going to get Disney content. They're never going to get Comcast, NBC Universal content. They're never going to get, you know, CBS content. So sure, there'll be a Squid Game, you know, in 6 months, there'll be another thing we're talking about. Raise your hand if you've seen Squid Game, because I haven't.
It's on my list.
Yeah, it's not on mine. I haven't yet. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me it's good. I've heard plenty of people say they saw it, but most said they don't get it. Look, they're real. They have a first mover advantage. They've got the biggest audience. They're not going to grow as fast as the other guys. They will be everybody's first streaming choice, but guess what? 200 million people already made that call. They're not going to grow like the other guys, and they're going to have to rely on cord cutting to continue growth. I don't see how their content purchase strategy improves at all, because they've got to replace this year's Squid Game with next year's Squid Game. They got to keep building content to keep the audience. So I think the stock's overvalued by, you know, it's about double what it's worth. And I think investors are fools for piling into the first mover as if they just discovered something. But again, well, valuable company, just not worth what it's trading at.
I mean, you know, it's not like they're not diversifying, right? They're getting into gaming, right?
The gaming thing is, I mean, the gaming thing is overdue, and they deserve some credit for having a sound strategy to get into gaming. But, you know, I've covered the sector for 21 years, the game sector. I can name 8 companies that went bankrupt in that 21 years. There's literally about 5 publishers left and about, you know, a dozen really good mobile companies left. And it's hard. So, you know, it's not like you just say, I'm in gaming, here I am. It's like saying you're going to build a new movie studio, which Relativity Media did and went bankrupt a few years later. It's really hard to build a game studio. And they hired this Mike Verdue guy who's very capable, you know, from Facebook, but his last game was in the 1990s. He's not going to develop anything. They bought a dinky little studio, which has made a game no one's heard of, BFD. If they want to get in this business, they're going to have to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they don't generate billions of dollars. They have stock as currency, so they can dilute themselves into the business, but it is really hard. I would say Netflix's chance of getting into gaming successfully is nil for the next 5 years. They have a chance in 10. And you know, look at how hard it was for them to get into streaming. They started in 07. And please don't tell me you thought Lilyhammer or Hemlock Grove were great shows. That was their first couple. The first show that they owned that was a success was Stranger Things. Which took them literally 10 years. So I'd say in 10 years, let's talk in 10 years, I'll be retired. But I don't see how they're going to succeed in gaming for at least 5.
Okay. Michael Pachter not pulling any punches this morning on pre-market prep. Michael Pachter, senior analyst in Wedbush Securities. Thanks for coming on today. Always giving us your opinions, what you like, what you don't like. We appreciate it. So thanks a lot, Michael.
My pleasure.
All right. Yeah. I thought he might change his tune on Netflix. I don't know why I thought that, but he's still pounding the table. Still as skeptical as ever on Netflix. Okay. What else was on our list to discuss, guys? Do you want to do the Fastenal?
Sure. Yeah, well, start of earnings season, Fastenal, the nuts and bolts of the market officially kicks it off here. FAST.
Yeah. Earnings out this morning. EPS in line of 42 cents. Sales, we'll call it in line. It was a slight beat, right? $1.55 versus $1.54 billion. So how's the stock doing?
It's kind of hanging out. Not a lot happening here. It got hit. It's coming back a little bit. I mean, part of this, you know, obviously, with, you know, you got to look at what the housing builders. This is a direct correlation, I think, with Fastenal as well. If you like your relationships, there's definitely a relationship between home builders and Fastenal too. Home builders have been coming down. I mean, we know the costs of building are up a little bit. That's obviously going to impact people's decisions to build homes. Fastenal's in everything else as well. It's not just obviously nuts and bolts of your home. It's nuts and bolts in your car. It's nuts and bolts in basically everything that's out there. I love the company. It's had an incredible run here over a number of years. On any significant pullback, I'd be a buyer of Fastenal because there's just, you know, no other place. Like this is the nuts and bolts. So I think they're in everything. I still love the company. I'd be a buyer on a significant pullback.
And I'll just give you the flip side here. It's popped its head over 53 just a couple times over the last few sessions and then just kind of faded. So I'll give you 53.35 is the number on the upside that splits a couple highs. So you get above there, work your way toward 54. But gotten over 53 3 times in the last 2 weeks, and they've hit it pretty good. So 4-star number, 53.35, Fastenal.
I want to hit on CureVac real fast. That's your big loser of the day, CVAC. They are pivoting away from their COVID vaccine, and they're going into they're going to refocus that, and they're going to develop a second-generation mRNA vaccine candidate in collaboration with GSK. They're withdrawing their first-generation vaccine from the FDA approval process here. So, and that's your big loser of the day. They're basically saying, yeah, we're – not going to make it this time around.
Approaching a new all-time low. Stocks making new all-time lows. You got to go. That's my opinion. Means
yep, 36. If you've been waiting to buy it at its all-time low, you might hit 36 in the pre-market.
Big level.
Currently charting 36.80. That's the only level we could give you. Bottom of yesterday's range. Way up.
I don't think it holds.
No.
It might, but I'm not.
Or if they pound it down through 36, down to 34.5, and then bring it back up. But right now, it after the initial thrashing, it looks like it's caught a little bid here. Now trading 37.44. So I think the bids will, you'll see some bids ahead of that pre-market low, but that's the only number you got. S&P's, they kicked up to 43.65 and backed off 10 points. So a lot of action here. Big range, a 50 point range so far. Big range.
Do you think the high and the low of the day are in, Joel? Inside day from where we are now?
Oh, we're only 9 points away from the high. So kind of, I'll tell you right now, if I see four inside days in a row again, I did right here, 1, 2, 3, 4 inside days in a row. And then this is the day that I took off and didn't do any trading. We ever see four inside days in a row and again, and we get a move out of that range. Then,
I think.
Wow.
I think I'm looking at it here like 50%, you know, break down all the 50% moves. You got the 50% original move. And what I'm talking is the bounce. Now you get a 50% of the retracement, this little move that we just had the last 4 days. So, and that would come in if we grab the low, you know, of the day going back to, I don't know, this Tuesday, Wednesday of last week, 430, 427 up to 441
and 14-point
rally and SPY. Take 7 away from that. You're kind of right now. So I think you should find some support probably yesterday's low, maybe 434.62, 434.
Yeah.
I think you got some buyers in here, some people who maybe missed buying the dip when we had those 4 or 5 days that'll probably come in. Again, it's stock selection though here too. I would be buying, if on a short-term basis, I'd be buying more commodity-based trades. Cleveland Cliffs, I tried to buy more yesterday. I actually missed it by a nickel, which I just had my order out there and then I moved on and I was like, I missed that by a nickel, which sucks. And then it blasted off at point from there. U.S. Steel, again, I think that one's beat up too. So I'm just looking at two steel stocks there. I was trying to buy some lumber stocks too. I like Wire, WY. I like that too. But I had a big move yesterday. But those are to pull back with, you know, if we get a little pullback here today, those are the kind of stocks I'd probably be looking at. Looking at tech stocks right now.
Let's do some ticker time. Drop some tickers in the chat. And
I'm, you know what? I am going to let you guys handle that. I have a roofer here. And,
you have a roofer?
Are you leaking? You a leaky roof?
I had a leaky. I was worried about my roof, so I got all these quotes on my roof, and then I had a leak in my basement. My roof is 20 years old, and they're up there throwing some stuff around. I haven't talked to them yet.
Go out there and see.
I'm going to go. I'll let you guys do it.
You'll be back on pre-market prep.
Yeah, for the real ticker time at 9 o'clock. I'll be there. You guys join me, premarketprep.com for pre-market prep plus. We're going to cover a lot of symbols.
All right.
Okay.
Lots of
symbols coming our way. I'll try to do one every 30 seconds. Try to do five here. The next.
All right.
Give them fast. Boom.
I know. SoFi. Costco.
Costco, COST. I'm assuming it's up near the all-time highs. It's not too far off. Fantastic company. Every time it pulls back, it's a buy. Probably not any similar. 440, huge support. Next.
Okay, next. Oh, we're going quick, guys.
Just grab anything. First,
U.S. Steel. U.S. Steel.
Oh, I just did that one. U.S. Steel. I like the steel companies. I'd be a buyer on pullbacks here. I'd actually be a buyer of this thing right now. That's just my opinion.
Ooh, ERJ. Like ERJ. That's an interesting one.
What stock?
ERJ.
I haven't looked at that one in a long time.
ADR.
Oh, breaking out. I don't know what's not to like when stocks are making new highs, except that we're in this environment where breakouts haven't been working. I like the pullbacks better.
You just said that. Environment. Right?
Pay trades.
You just said that off the top of the show. PayPal?
Yeah, I'm going to get way more than five, and I'm fast at this. PYPL, trading up $1.30. I don't know if there's a headline here or not. Stock's been out of favor for the last few weeks. I don't know. FinTech. Tech's not in favor. It's not the kind of stock I want to be buying right now.
Oh, Tan. What about Tan? We haven't talked Solar in a while.
Solar looked good. Solar has been looking good. And I like Solar, and we know I've liked Solar for a long time. I still have my long-term position in Sun Power, even though I sold the trade, which obviously I shouldn't have because if it pulled back, I should have rebought it. I would have been back in it again. Like First Solar, like Sun Power, like the Tan, I'd be a buyer of pullbacks.
How about Chipotle?
Now, the valuation's crazy, and the stock looks like it's ready to break down. I've never, but I've been wrong on Chipotle for decades. So, if that's possible,
I know,
out there. I feel like I'm always wrong on Chipotle. So, but you know what? That chart looks heavy to me. It looks like it's ready to fall off a cliff. I don't like it. This is all just my opinion.
Here's one I haven't pulled up in a long time. This is an old favorite, Dennis. I think we've all made money on this one. Inseego.
Have you looked at it? We're in this because of Kolb. Everybody in the grand.
And then we all got out.
This is the way to play 5G and Inseego. Kolb would like pound that into all our heads, and the entire Benzinga office just got sick of hearing it, so we had to buy it.
And we all got
in.
We all got out.
He was right. He gave this to me originally, Matt Kolb. Follow him on Twitter. Put his Twitter handle up there.
Put his
Twitter handle. Or at least in the chat there. Follow him. Matt's a great guy. Follow him on Twitter. But anyway, he gave this to me at $1.30. So it was a really good one. I sold some at 5. I sold some at 7. I sold probably all out of it by 10. Ended up going over $20 a share, $21.93. I think the story has cooled off significantly here. It's oversold, I will say that much. You know, where we've been straight down here for a while, it's oversold. Is it due for a bounce? I think it could have a bounce here sometime, but the chart is not looking that great. MSU Mac MAK.
I put it in the chat. It's MSU.
He's longer term. He's a longer term investment guy, but he gives some great long term ideas.
Oh man, yeah, that was one we haven't talked about. I think I sold that at like 13 or 14. I don't remember when. Honestly, I bought at like.
Well, you did better than I did. I sold way sooner than that.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. One or two more. Okay. I saw one. Carnival. CCL.
Cruise lines, eh? Yep. Cruise lines, airlines. If I had to pick, I'd rather have the cruise lines than the airlines. But with that being said, you know what? Oh, you've got the pullback. If the reopening trade starts, you got a nice little dip here to buy. I could get talked into it. I could get talked into the cruise lines here. Again, I'm not sure it's a stock I want right now, but if the reopening trade starts to get some life going again, the cruise lines I like better than the airlines. One more.
One more last one.
Make a good one.
Make it a good one.
There's like 50 to choose from.
Do you want to look at like Devon Energy? I don't know. Do you want to look at...
Somebody just paid. We're going to go STEM because somebody just gave $20. So they jump right to the top of the queue.
I don't even see that one. Oh, yeah.
They get right to the top of the queue for that one. STEM.
Blue collar lifestyle. STEM. Okay.
Oh, man. Trend is not your friend here at all. You have a huge level because it got down back in August to about 2106. You got down recently to 2053. I'll call it a sloppy double bottom. So as long as that holds, you can take a shot. This thing goes under 20. I want no part of it, though. So you got to be careful. You don't want to see this thing under $20. Is this a SPAC before, too? I think it was.
I'm looking right now. I'm not sure if it was,
but I think it was. And I'm just, I know Michael Pachter just said it. I haven't been a fan of a lot of the SPACs either. But it's got to hold above 20. If you're in it, you don't want to see this thing below 20. I'd bail if it's below 20.
Was it a SPAC?
I don't know if it was. It kind of looked SPACy when I went out to the long-term chart.
I don't think this was.
I'm looking at the November was 979.65. Just hanging over.
This was not a SPAC.
Mitch, no.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
All right, guys. We did some round robin. That was fun. As a reminder, this Saturday, you get 3.5 hours with Dennis, Angel, and Rob Friesen.
We're answering questions, too. So the way it's going to go, we all got segments. I have 2 30-minute segments where I'm going to be talking about relationship trading. I'll be talking risk arbitrage. I'll be talking, you know, market neutral trading, different strategies, you know, that I talk about a lot on the show. And then we're going to be doing Q&A as we go along, too. So even when somebody else is presenting, if you got questions going, we're answering them live as well. So we'll be doing a little bit of Q&A. We're doing the Q&A at the end, too. So it's going to be a lot of information. It'll be a power 3.5 hours. We added 30 minutes out of popular demand last time because we cut out and we didn't get to all the Q&A, so we added an extra 30 minutes of Q&A this time.
Yeah. All right, Dennis, have a good rest of your day. Everyone, we made it through. It's been a wild morning for me, just like in terms of technology. I couldn't get my sound working for like an hour on this computer, but I promised I'd be on camera today. I I lived up to that promise. So once I get everything sorted out here, it'll be a little bit better. But we made it through a frazzled hour. Thank you, Jorge Botello. Appreciate that. Thanks to all the super chats, by the way. We appreciate that, as always, in chat. In this case, it was Amigo back there. Sorry, I've got like 10 different things going on. Blue Collar Lifestyle. Thank you, Blue Collar Lifestyle. Wait, Blue Collar Lifestyle says you're thinking about using margin. Oh, man. Okay, you know what? I have my own opinions, but that's a great question to say for Saturday, right? Because Dennis uses margin all the time. That's a great question for him. I've got my own thoughts about margin, but I don't actually use margin. So I'll say that's one you want to ask Dennis on Saturday, because he's a professional margin trader. That's what prop trading is, basically, right? He's trading with the firm's capital. So that's a good one for Dennis. But I don't, it's hard because I don't know your risk tolerance. I don't know anything like that. I would say for beginners, generally not the best idea. Is, you know, I'll leave it at that. But hey, everyone, do me a solid and hit that like button for me, right? Because hey, I'm back on camera. I'm home. It's almost like it's last summer all over again, right? I'm doing this from my apartment. Yeah. I mean, clearly, I'm feeling okay. So thanks to all the well wishers on social media, and email, and everything. I appreciate it. I hope to be back in the office potentially next week. Potentially. We'll see. And hey, by the way, guys, the end of this week is our Cannabis Capital Conference, right? BZCannabis.com. We're doing more than two full days. Here's what's going on. We have a virtual stream that's going to go tomorrow evening at like 4 or 5 o'clock. I think 5 o'clock. Into the evening, just virtual content. And then Thursday and Friday will be live from the venue at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. I won't be there. I'll be running it virtually. But we're going to be doing a lot of live stuff from the actual event. That's going to be all day, Thursday and Friday. So very, very exciting. If you're in the area, you want to stop by, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. BZCannabis.com. Again, we are... Benzinga was so early in terms of recognizing that cannabis was going to be a thing in the capital markets. We've been hosting these conferences for like 5 years now. We've been covering cannabis for like 7 years or longer, frankly. You know, if you're into the space, which you know I am, I've got, you know, I think, what's my exposure? I want to say like somewhere in the 8% range, 8 to 9% range of my portfolio, right? Is cannabis stocks. So, you know, I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to win it. And we got two and a half full days of content prepared for the rest of this week. So very exciting stuff. Go to bzcannabis.com to learn more. Please remember, all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. I am going to hop off. David Green will be live in around 15 minutes or so. And that's going to be a wrap for me here. So again, youtube.com/Benzinga. And I think that's all the housekeeping items I have. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll have the graphics like we always do. It'll be better, but today was just wild day. Will there be free samples at the conference? Well, I don't know, to be honest. I don't want to say no. I'm gonna assume there may be some, because it's legal in New York. So if there are any local companies that already have facilities in New York, then why wouldn't they? It's not like that kind of a conference. It's more like a conference for investors. But I mean, in Miami 3 years ago, we had samples of some stuff. So I think so. I mean, I don't know, but it would seem logical to think that there would be. I can't promise you they're going to be free samples, but yeah, there are a lot of companies that have manufacturing in New York. It's legal in New York, so in New York State. So, yeah, I don't really see why not. I don't really see why not, honestly. Yeah, okay.
Now you're trying to get me to go, Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can promise anything, but
one thing I did hear that if you do get those free samples, you probably are going to be wanting to stay right there at the Marriott, right? So you can just go right upstairs and drop it off.
Yo, that's true. It's at a hotel. It's literally at a hotel. You don't even have to go anywhere. It's right there. So yeah, I think samples is a reasonable. And hey, if there are no samples, then sorry. But I think there might be. Anyway, okay. Booking a flight as we speak, Tiny Pie Media. Nice. Tiny Pie, just don't do yourself a favor. Don't book Southwest. I hear they're having some problems.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.